OmeletRadio.com. No program director, no general manager, no FCC. This should be interesting. No rules radio. Let's do this.
It's Omelet Radio, and we're here with a great guest, Vic McCarty. But first, let me thank my sponsors real quick, Vic.
Yeah.
World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, located right behind Classic Motorsports off of US 31 between the Chum's Corners and the Mall. Auto Body and Collision Repair for any size vehicle, commercial vehicles, semis, RVs, motorhomes, cars, trucks, SUVs. They do it all. They're great at what they do. They've been in business for 26 years in northern Michigan. Local owners, Jeff and Bob. Awesome guys. They're sandblasting specialists over there. Have anything metal sandblasted and painted, or just sandblasted and ready for custom paint. Classic cars from all over Michigan come to World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City to get stripped and get blasted. They do custom door work for garage doors, entryways to custom homes. Free estimates, no obligation. Call Jeff or Bob, 231-943-9945. Call or stop by World Truck and Auto Body in Traverse City, located right behind Classic Motorsports between the Chum's Corners and the Mall. And of course, please tell them that you heard it about on the podcast. And keep those Amazon.com. Amazon, go through my website, purchase away at Amazon.com. Just click the banner on the right side and you're in, man. We get a little kickback. I'm going to reinvest it into the podcast. And thank you so much for doing that. If you shop online, if you go to Amazon, if you buy anything, maybe periodically, maybe all the time, just click through my website and then benchmark or what they call that
bookmark.
Thank you, Vic. Bookmark the page at that time, and then you'll always you don't have to go through the process of clicking through my website. All right, enough about that. Hey, it's the Super Bowl spectacular. Let's get underway. And I wanted Vic McCarty to come in. All right, enough of the sound. I see Vic McCarty is in the studio at OmeletRadio.com with his Green Bay Packers hat.
Yeah, good morning. I thought you'd enjoy that.
For our Super Bowl spectacular. Yeah. I want to know why Green Bay.
It's really a pretty easy story. I grew up in Southern California, huge Rams fan.
Nice.
Me too. And they left me.
Yes.
They went to St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't going to have any of that. So I came here in 96, no team. And I figure Green Bay, right across the lake, makes sense to me.
As the crow flies, it is closer than Detroit.
90 miles.
And I often question why people were Green Bay fans, especially in the UP and a lot of northern Michigan.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was explained to me that the television coverage, where you'd have to get a signal, you get a better television signal. You could watch all the Green Bay games.
Yeah,
and Detroit didn't have an affiliate up here or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't have a CBS affiliate for a long time. So, yeah, I mean.
So I understand geographically and with the television, you grow up watching a team. You know, when I grew up in Connecticut, it was the Mets, it was the Yankees, it was the Red Sox. I mean, you had all three games on at the same time, which was pretty special. But it also enhanced the rivalry of of those teams.
You know, and if the Lions had played outdoors, because I'm not an indoor football guy.
Yeah, I don't like that
either. And so that didn't speak to me. Now, the Packers play outside where men play football.
Of course.
Right?
And, you know, it's the... So, have you ever been to the Tundra?
I've been to Lambeau 3 times, and I am 3-0, my friends.
No kidding.
I am undefeated. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to beat them at Lambeau.
And get this...
And was it before they put in the luxury boxes? Because
before and after, yeah.
I loved what they did with that. They kept the stadium.
Yep.
And they just built it to be modern. And right. I don't know why more stadiums don't do that.
No, it depends. But you know, everybody wants new stadiums. I mean, the San Diego Chargers are moving to L.A.
Yeah.
And they wanted a new stadium, and San Diego basically told them to stuff it, pay for your own stadium. So they're going to end up playing 2 years, not very far from where I grew up, in a soccer stadium that holds about 20,000 fans. They'll play there until the new place gets built for them and the Rams.
And they're going to share that stadium?
Yep,
like they will. Giants and the Jets do?
Yep, and then the Raiders, I guess, are going to Vegas. That's the latest. I don't know if that's a done deal.
Right.
And but with the Raiders, you never know.
Right. That'd be a shame if Oakland lost, but it's a stadium issue, right?
It's always a stadium issue.
Yeah.
It's always a stadium issue.
And I don't understand why Atlanta, like I thought that was a new stadium. This is the last.
Georgia Dome's going bye-bye, and it's not even that old.
Like 20 years?
Yeah.
25 years? Yeah. Something like that? 91 maybe?
Yeah. 96. I mean, Dodger Stadium out in L.A. is... Boy, that was built in the 60s, and it's still going strong.
Right.
But it doesn't have pools, and it doesn't have water slides, and it doesn't have jungle gyms. So, you know, clearly they're behind the times.
Marlins have an aquarium behind.
Yeah. It's just, you know, so whatever. But, yeah.
All right, so it's the Patriots in Atlanta. I don't know how long I could talk about the Super Bowl because there's not a lot of storyline, but
are you a sports guy?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Big time, especially football, my favorite sport.
Yeah, I was devastated when the Packers lost to the Falcons, but at least I have someone to root against. I don't adopt teams, but I have to have someone to root against, and clearly it's good to root against New England. Look, they've had their fun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm for New England. I grew up 2 miles from the stadium.
You are rooting for the Patriots.
Of course.
Who's your number one team?
The Lions.
Okay, but wait a minute. Where did you grow up?
In Boston, right? 2 miles from the stadium. I sold hot dogs for the Patriots.
Did you really?
Back in the day.
Really?
When it's Steve Grogan, Tony Eves, you know, down the street from Doug Flutie shooting the
Boston College. Well, and here's the deal, is that when New England went to the Super Bowl for the first time against the Bears, I rooted for New England.
Right.
Huge underdogs. Yeah. They played well for about the first half a quarter.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, man.
That was Jim McMahon and the fridge and Walter Payton.
Yeah. Walter Payton doesn't score a touchdown. The fridge does. And now the fridge, I think, is cleaning pools.
Yeah. He's a construction guy. It's something like that. Anyway, Vic McCarty here. So you're rooting against New England. Would you? The thing that I'm rooting for with New England, and I've said this a bunch on the podcast, I apologize to repeat myself, but just the moment when, if Tom Brady wins the MVP, Roger Goodell's going to have to hand him the trophy.
I'm living
for that moment from the first day of the season.
That will be fun.
If it's not the Lions, I just want to see that moment. Of course, Tom Brady's going to take the high road. But, you know, there's going to be a look. There's going to be a feeling. There's going to be something tangible that is going to be. So that's what I'm rooting for. I mean, I'd like to see Atlanta win. I mean, they've never won a Super Bowl.
Never won. This will be their second trip. And, and Matt Ryan's having a great season. He probably will be the season MVP.
Julio Jones is amazing.
Ripped up the Packers.
Their offense is on fire.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone is... Ryan had a great regular season, and he just continues to put up good numbers. He's put up good numbers in the postseason, two games of it.
I wanted to see the Patriots against the Giants because the Patriots lost twice to the Giants. So I wanted that first, and then I wanted Green Bay because that's
Rodgers and Brady would have been a good matchup.
I think the best sexier in the AFC. You know, it would have been nice to see the Cowboys, but we got Atlanta.
No Cowboys. No. So that's what I'm holding on to. The Packers beat the Cowboys. I've always hated the Cowboys. I saw them beat the LA Rams in the NFC Championship game twice at the Coliseum. And so I've hated the Cowboys ever since.
That was a great game. That was the best game of the playoffs.
It was great, wasn't
Green
it?
Bay.
The catch there at the end. God. Then the kick that looked like it was going to go wide. Then it started to turn back in. So, yeah. And I think they were just spent. I think they took everything they had to do to beat them. And they were injured. That's not an excuse. Because, look, all of those Atlanta receivers were open during the Packer game.
Right.
Just every the greatest defense that the Packers had was Atlanta drop balls. I mean, so
there's another storyline where, and everybody talks about the offense of these two teams, but for the Patriots, they have a defensive back named Butler.
Yeah.
And he's up. He's like a superstar defensive back, and he's up for contract. Some people are saying he's going to go out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's going to be pick sixes. He's going to be batting them away. He's going to be on amphetamines or something out there.
I think I saw a piece that I didn't read, but I just breezed over it quickly. They were taking a look at the 10 free agents who will be playing in this game.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is about money. I mean, you know, you have a great Super Bowl.
Tom
enhances you.
Tom Brady is looking for a contract soon. I mean, he's not going to go anywhere else, but he's hoping to like sign a 5-year deal or something, which would make him 45 years old.
I saw Dan Marino interviewed yesterday, and his thoughts are that he thinks Brady's probably got 3 more good years left. He doesn't think he could go much farther than that, but
till he's 42. And you think about a guy like Calvin Johnson, and this kind of gets into what I wanted to ask you about, even on a local level, like high school sports and why kids are not wanting to participate, or maybe it's the parents. Oh, my dogs are barking.
Release the hounds.
I think my wife might be home.
Oh, no.
Or it's the UPS guy.
Oh.
Get the package.
Which one are you rooting for? Just a joke. It was just a joke to the missus. I apologize.
Like certain players, I don't understand how some could be lifers and people stay in the same team for a long time. And then there's people like Calvin Johnson,
right?
Which he was injured that last season, but I thought he had a lot more life left. And when you talk about the greatest receiver of all time, you've got to also include longevity. I mean, you should be in the league for 12, 14 years. Look at Moss. Randy Moss.
Some people believe he's better than Jerry Rice overall. I disagree with that. But yeah, I don't know. Barry Sanders called it quits, but he was 30 and a running back. And when you hit 30, that's kind of when the clock starts to tick on you. But he probably just felt like, forget this noise. But they've been better. I happen to believe that when you have a superstar either get injured or leave the team, that it opens you up and pushes you to do different things.
Right. And in other words, he's looking down the field at all receivers instead of just looking
Megatron.
For 81.
Right. Exactly right.
What about the concussions? I mean, you've covered local high school sports for a long time, and now there seems to be a trend where there's less participation. A couple of programs had to fold here in northern Michigan, like Benzie Central. I think
because of injuries and whatnot. Yeah. And people just, numbers are down.
And then there was an Elk Rapids controversy with a coach and all kinds of stuff going on.
I heard Bo Jackson interview the other day. He was taking some flack because he has said that if he knew about the possible head injuries or what it can do to you down the road, that he probably wouldn't have played football. And people got upset with him because he runs football camps. But he made the point that at his football camps, they are teaching the proper technique on how to tackle and how to take a hit and all that kind of stuff. And that's a large part of it, proper technique.
You know what some people are suggesting, and I know it sounds outrageous, is that take the helmets off. Because then you
don't use that.
You naturally don't hit there.
Or put the leather helmets back on.
That would be awesome. But honestly, they say that rugby players, very few concussions, and that's really rough. But you sort of...
Wouldn't that be weird to see, though?
Oh, my God.
I maintain that the Pro Bowl would be much more entertaining if they just played tackle football like you and I did when we were kids.
Yeah.
Street clothes, get out there.
That would be awesome.
Drawing up plays in the dirt.
The Pro Bowl, I don't even watch it. I don't pay attention.
No,
I don't even know who won.
Yeah, I could not care less. It's
not
possible.
Familiarizing yourself with some of the players, it used to... and. because the Super Bowl guys are not in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Brady and Ryan aren't going to play. Yeah, let's play in the Pro Bowl. And they've been trying everything to make it more interesting, and they can't.
And I thought that, you know, because with the, in baseball, how they have the All-Star game decide, and I get...
They stopped doing that, thank goodness.
Is it for next year? Yeah, they're not going to do that, right?
That's so stupid. That was quite possibly one of the... Don't you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
The dumbest ideas ever.
The record should get home field advantage. Hello. Like the Cubs would have had.
How about
we
have the actual games? Because that's a huge advantage. I think in the...
Oh, huge.
I think as far as all the four sports go, basketball has the most advantage when playing at home, then baseball, then football, then hockey. So, but yeah, why would you have some exhibition game to have a hand in what's going on with the World Series? It was silly.
The All-Star game was a time for me where, you know, because you only saw local sports figures, but that was the time because I grew up a Dodger fan for whatever reason.
Wow.
The LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because I hated the Yankees. I was rebellious against the area in which I grew up.
Yes.
So I loved the Steve Garvey and Ron Say, Dusty Baker, Penguin. Pedro Guerrero, wow. Fernando Valenzuela, Mike Socia,
Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, not the basketball player.
Ron Say, I was thinking. So that was a team, and you know, you're getting older when the players that you grew up on are now on the coaching staff.
Right, right. Like, or how about you see their kid playing professional ball? That's always weird for me. I'm like, wow.
Did you know Pete Rose's kid was playing in the minors or something?
Yeah,
but that was long
years
time.
Ago.
He's probably retired at this point.
Right.
What do you think about Pete Rose? Do you think he should be included in the baseball ceremonies?
I think they should let him back into baseball.
Right.
I mean, he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, now, PEDs is another question. The steroid issue is another question.
Right.
But look, if we're going to start only letting in the honorable into the Hall of Fame, who are we going to induct?
Yeah. Yep.
And look, Rose compared to some of the other guys out there right now, I mean, but I don't know what will happen with that. I think it feels like to me that he's starting to kind of come back a little bit every year. And
you know, I find him hilarious in the broadcast.
Yeah.
Some people are very annoyed with him, but I like, you know, weirdos on the air.
Yeah.
And he's certainly in.
He was hated when he played. They would toilet paper him when he played left field.
But they broadcast across the street. Like, he's not in the stadium. Did you notice that when they're in, like, Wrigley Field, they broadcast across the street? Like,
no.
Wrigley is in the... Yeah, yeah. They set up, like, a remote truck and a riser, and you're actually... And there's a bunch of, you know, fans in the street, but it's across the street.
They're not even in the
stadium with Pete Rose. But, you know, growing up watching people like that, and if people are too young to know Pete Rose as a player, there's that old weird guy with the bad dye job.
Really, you know? Bad haircut.
I mean, that was Charlie Hustle. He used to hit like, you know,
well, and
it hit like Wade Boggs, another timely reference.
Yeah, wow.
And or you know, that Ted Williams style, you know, lefty, always making contact, hitting singles. And when he got on first base, you know, he was going to make it to third,
right?
Because
right.
he'd steal
just by will,
going extra base, he's diving in. Charlie Hustle,
well, he's got one of the great All-Star game highlights when he went head first into the catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's doing that today. They're like, no, I'll get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't want to play this game.
Amazing.
So the times have definitely changed, to use a big time cliche.
So just to revisit the local sports issue. What happened in, like, the parents get involved, right?
Oh.
Too involved. And then the coaches are not competent. They don't need to deal with the problems. What is your take on all this?
My take on parents?
Yeah.
Shut up, number one.
Yep.
You are allowed to clap and yell encouragement, and that's it. I just talked to a coach the other day who shall remain nameless, and he didn't even want to talk about it. They, you know, the rumor is about Jim Ooley, the great Traverse City Central football coach, is that he moved his team to the visitor sideline because he got tired of hearing the fans. I've heard that that's true. I don't know if it's absolutely true. I don't have confirmation, but no, don't even get me started on parents.
There's no, do you think it has social You know how, like, these days there's a lot of parents that are, you know, maybe not together anymore. So, like, in other words, deeper rooted sociology.
I think, like, so, yeah. With,
parents are now their kids' friend. You know,
right,
because
yes.
It's like, I want my, you know, if the parents aren't together anymore, they each want to, like, sort of win over their kid.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
There's no reprimanding. There's no disappointment. There's no saying,
wow,
you know,
this
you
is, can do. We're going in all sorts of directions. And yeah, then, that is. No,
and
that's
so
true.
When either, and because parents complain about the teacher, my kid couldn't have done that. You know, and if the police are involved, my kid doesn't do that.
I know.
That there's a lot of that going on. And then when the coach sits you on the bench, why can't my, you know, you're fighting for your kid. You know, my parents were, I am wrong first. You know, like, in other words, if a teacher
my old man,
there is no trial. There is no beyond a reasonable doubt.
No,
the kid is guilty.
Absolutely. But that is definitely not the way it goes now. How about this, though? How about social stature for the parents if your kid does well? Then all of a sudden, your social stature goes up a little bit.
Right. I did notice that when... I saw this changing because I coached Little League baseball when I was in my early 20s. And I noticed that, what's the thought? I'm like, you had a good thought. Now you lost it. There was a change of parents' attitudes. Oh, and when I was playing as a kid, the parents that showed up and were there every day, I think there was a little... Not that they were vocalized, my kids should play more, but they kind of showed up. My parents were working two jobs, and they weren't able to come to all the games.
Yeah.
So I was sitting for the three innings. And there was other kids, like, the parents are here. They sort of felt like, I'm going to play the kid a little more. You know, he's now the pitcher. He's the quarterback. You know, sometimes kids don't even get a chance to throw the ball.
Right.
You know, like, I never touched the ball. I was a lineman.
Well, you know, and that's a little thing called life, you know, it's not always fair. And if do you want, I mean, there's another coach that I won't name, Pop Warner coach, that was taking grief because his son, fast as lightning, I guarantee you'll see him playing high school football in Traverse City and you'll know who I'm talking about. Fast as lightning. And boy, I tell you what, he was good and he would score touchdowns. And they played in the last game of the season, which was the big Saturday of football. And they were upset that their son, who's the quarterback, wasn't getting the ball very much or got to do very much. And they were actually rooting against the running back.
You've got to be kidding me.
That their son played on the same team with. And I told the coach, I said, look, it's obvious. And the coach was the father of the great kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like... You see what he does out there. Of course you're going to give him the football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to win or do you want everyone to touch the ball?
Right.
Which is it? Because you can't have it both ways. Well, you can, but not very often.
And there's a pressure to win for even on that level.
Yeah. Do you understand that? I don't understand that at all.
I know people listen to the podcast all over the country, but there's a local team, St. Francis Gladiators, and they are good, like, in the championship every year.
Yeah, right.
They're a Division 6 or 7 type of team.
Yep.
But the school has become so well known for their football program. Do you think they get to cherry or kids that do well in high school sports or upcoming through Pop Warner, they want to go to St. Francis because they're probably going to go to Ford Field. They're going to get the state recognition. So they sort of get a prime crop of football players.
Yes, yeah. And the secret to that is that you get kids at the Pop Warner stage, get those football teams playing in the same system as the high school. Does that make sense?
I don't understand.
They run the same type of offense or same kind of defense, same philosophy. So they're trained up. So by the time they get to high school, they're used to it. And weight room work. Oh, that's another big one. But Yeah, that's a huge, and I hadn't really thought about that until you brought it up, is that these kids are kind of playing for a starting position in high school when they're 8, 9, 10 years old. So it's there almost, is that level of pressure.
And it's almost like an all-star team from the surrounding areas. Yeah. Do I want to play for, you know, a small town where I was born and raised in, or do I want to go to St. Francis where, you know, I don't know. Well, is it the coaching staff? Is it?
It's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. Plus, it's the institutional aspect of it is that they just know, like Josh Sellers at St. Francis, man, he comes back and they're playing great football again. They've always played great football.
Always.
But he comes back and, you know, it's just the way they do things over there. But there are a lot of great coaches in the area. But there are a lot of people who think that St. Francis recruits. And there are a lot of people who think that Catholic schools should play in their own league. Be the Catholic School League. You go play against your fellow Catholics, and we'll play with the Protestants over here.
Do you think that there's too much emphasis on got to get the scholarship, got to get the, you know.
To a degree,
and,
yeah.
And the commitment level to play football is pretty intense for somebody that young, isn't it?
Oh, it can be. It can be really
bad.
You're
in the weight room at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you're at practice after school. You're getting home at 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got homework, and then you go back the next day. I mean, that's a huge. That's why I didn't play much high school sports, because I wanted to go out with my friends after school. I mean, I wanted to socialize. Well,
but you know what? Football, I think all sports, though, but football teaches you discipline.
Right.
And teaches you how to not, well, hopefully teaches you not to act like a chucklehead. But then, you know, what I saw yesterday was National Letter of Intent Day.
Right.
And you got these kids holding press conferences to announce where they're going to school.
I know.
So there are these cream of the crop players in high school who are already getting treated like they're special. But someone pointed out last night, I think it was Dan Patrick yesterday, pointing out that really, it doesn't matter if you're a 3-star or 4-star or 5-star, because there have been great 2-star and 3-star recruits that have turned out to be super good and 5-stars that are busts.
How about, let me just totally change the subject, but also sports. I like your My News 26 jacket there. That's cool.
It's brand new right there, baby. My News 26. Shout out.
I love it. I wanted to talk about the University of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
How do you think he's done? Are you concerned about the amount of seniors that were on the team last year? Are they going to have to rebuild to a certain extent? Well, do you think they should have been in that playoff instead of Washington?
Well, they should have beaten Ohio State, and they screwed that game up, and they only have themselves to blame. Had they beaten Ohio State, of course they're in the championship four. But no, I think Harbaugh is just one of those guys. I thought there was a very good chance that he would turn things around. Not surprised that he has. And I think that's another thing. It's just it's a system. It's not just the coach. It's a system that he has put in place that produces great players. And I think the thing with him, I think the concern for Harbaugh is how long do you keep him?
How long does Harbaugh stay interested in college football when a lot of NFL teams are going to come calling?
But there's the argument that he's a better college coach because the way he coaches, he can do that to college kids, whereas he really can't do that to a 25-year-old millionaire.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I just signed for $20 million.
Yeah, I'm not going to do extra wind sprints. I got to go. I got to, you know, I got things to do.
I got a Rolex meeting something. I got to go get my new spinny rims on
Rolex, right.
But is there, you know, he came out after there was rumors that he was going to go Jeff Fisher's job with the Rams went away.
Yeah.
And then there was a big rumor that Jim Harbaugh was going to be taken away. And then he came out and said, I'm committed to University of Michigan football.
It's good.
I mean, think he can't over go under back on that now, right?
Well, yeah, he can't. I mean, we've seen that before, but I think the over under on how long he would stay was 4 years.
Yeah, like Pete Carroll with USC.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
he got like all kinds of bad things went down there.
Right.
And he just took off and went to Seattle. Right.
And Nick Saban, who told the Dolphins, "No, I'm not going anywhere." Next day, I'm going to Alabama. See ya.
Do you miss the days where players were a little more committed to their city?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's easy for us to say, like, "Hey, you could give up $6 million; you're already a millionaire." But what's the reality of that? I mean, Tom Brady, I think he was willing to take less money to stay with the Patriots. And I think in the long run, like if he opened up a, let's say he doesn't need to open up a bar and grill, but people are, if you're invested in the city, it goes beyond the years of playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could own a car. Like, look at John Elway.
Yeah.
He could own, he's owned car dealerships.
Do I have to?
I think he's made.
Horse face? Stop it. Stop it, Victor.
He made more money on this car dealership than he ever did in the NFL because he was committed to the city.
Yeah. Yeah. And people love that. And Tom Brady is the king of New England. He'll do anything he wants. And, you know, it's just not fair. He, multiple Super Bowl champion, multiple MVPs.
Yeah.
Movie star good looks, smart, and Giselle has a Bundchen. Model as a wife.
Who makes spread the $200 million a
year. Yeah. Yeah. He's the, and yeah, he's not really the head of the household there, is he? That's just sad. Like, but spread the wealth.
I was kind of heartbroken when Steve Garvey left the Dodgers and ended his career in the Padres.
I remember.
I mean, I was like devastated.
I was at Pepperdine, and that morning that the paper came out, we were at breakfast. And I just showed my girlfriend the headline of the sports section, you know, something like Garvey leaving for San Diego. It was awful. I loved him.
Hold on. My dog is whining. I don't want buddy.
What's the matter with you?
Sorry, Coop. Coop doesn't like to be locked out. She's got to have her way, like the kids these days.
Yeah.
All right, guys, come on. Just go lay down. Go lay down.
It's okay.
Cooper and Scorcher, we tried to lock him out of the room, but he's... But they demanded their way in, and they got their way. Yeah. What else was I going to mention? What was I going to ask you about? Anything that you wanted to bring up, Vic?
We could talk prop bets.
You know,
these are these weird bets
for the
Super Bowl.
I love that. How long will the national anthem be?
Right. The over-under, I think, is $159. And they think because Luke Bryan is doing it, that it probably the under is the best way to go.
If Aretha Franklin's doing it, I would definitely go the over. Remember that one? Wouldn't stop. Lions game, I think Thanksgiving.
Right, yes. He just went on and on. And she was praised and criticized for it. So depending on which end of the fence you're on. But with Luke Bryan, he's not going to do anything fancy. He's just going to actually do something weird and sing the national anthem.
And he's a country star. I know the name. I know the name.
You want to bet on what kind of pants he's going to wear because you can lay a bet for that.
It's going to be jeans.
Blue jeans is the prohibitive favorite in that. Yeah, absolutely.
And Lady Gaga is going to do the halftime show, right?
Yep. You can make a bet on how many guest performers she will have. The over-under is 0.5. Because I guess said there will be no guest performers, but you never know.
Right.
You're either betting there will be at least one or not.
I don't know if she's one of those pop artists. Come on, Scorch. She's right Vic McCarty's face here. I'm a little disappointed that Lady Gaga, I understand it, but I guess they invited Adele first.
Oh.
They were going to have Adele, but she's like, I don't fit into the Super Bowl.
And it's not really going to be a rock and
Adele
concert. Now, Lady Gaga, I don't know.
She'll rock it up.
She'll be very high energy and all that kind of stuff.
She's highly influenced by classic rock, especially Queen and stuff. She can belt out classic rock.
She's not my cup of tea, but she is phenomenally talented. She has a beautiful voice.
Well, she could sit down at a piano and sing
whatever. You can bet on what primary color her hair will be.
That's
blonde is the big time favorite.
Or how many outfit changes. There's a bunch of things like that. I love those songs
she'll sing.
Lady Gaga, you know what's one thing about her? I don't know what she looks like. Because she morphs into different looking people.
Are you a Seinfeld fan?
Seinfeld, I love her.
She's a Two-Face.
I didn't see
really good looking. Or then sometimes it's like, ooh, depending on the light. Jerry was dating the girl who was like good looking and then catch her in a bad light. Ooh.
There was one of those sleazy Hollywood pictures that like her in a swimming pool. And I was like, I don't even recognize her.
Right.
She doesn't even look like anything. So it'll be interesting. I mean,
remember when there was a rumor that she was actually a man? That was early on.
I think I heard something like that. Yeah.
That's terrible.
What about the over under? It's 56 points. For the game. And I've been battling what I think. I think the final score is going to be 28-10 Patriots.
Really?
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Boy, I don't I think we're going to see both teams in the 30s. I'd bet the over.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, you've got
58's a lot.
But, I mean, look what they did against Pittsburgh, and look what Atlanta did against Green Bay. And Matt Ryan is putting up numbers that are better than the regular season. And Brady's got all these guys that always get open. I mean, here's a situation.
Bill Belichick.
And Bill Belichick. So I think both will be in the 30s. So about the over.
What happened with Bill Belichick? He used to be the coach of the Browns. And they were terrible at the time. I mean, did he... You know, was it him and Bob Kraft? Was it his coaching? Did he develop a system that works?
Yeah.
Do you think he's stepped his game up with all the years of experience?
I think a lot of it is chemistry. You get into with your general manager and your owner and the way things are going. I mean, it just wasn't a good fit. But in New England, for whatever reason, it turned out to be a great fit. Bill Walsh in the San Francisco 49ers. Talk about a guy who could turn any quarterback into a great quarterback because of a system.
Yeah. Joe Montana and then Steve Young was Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
Bill Belichick is interesting because, he gets all that criticism from taping practices and things like that.
Cheater.
Deflategate. What's your final takeaway on Deflategate? Do you think there was balls that were deflated?
Absolutely. And everyone knew about it.
And why does that help a quarterback?
Well, it helps if you like the ball a little squishier.
Right.
So, which is fine, but all the balls have to be inflated to the same degree because both teams have to play with the same ball, right?
Right.
So, they were playing with balls that were a little squishier, and it gives them better grip. Now, there are other guys who like it. Like Aaron Rodgers said, I like the ball to be rock hard.
Right. That's weird.
So, it just depends, but the ball has got to be the same for everybody. He knew about it.
I was amazed by the fact that, they get to test out the balls, which I didn't know until the story came out and everybody started analyzing it. I didn't know that each team gets their own balls so that they can sort of get a feel for baseballs are not given to pitchers. Here, hold on to these balls.
Here you go.
You know what I mean? Like it should be just the refs. Here's your ball. They're all the same. You know, somebody make sure they're all 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And then you play.
You bring
game.
Two or three balls to the game. And if you run out, then everyone goes home.
But here's your sack of balls. Here's your sack of balls.
Yeah, no, I know.
And if Tom's like, hey, I like them around 13 pounds, they're normally about 15 pounds. And there is a rule where they can fluctuate a little bit,
but not as much as they were. And, look, everybody's looking to gain an advantage.
And everybody's trying to take away from Tom Brady. I don't know if it's based on jealousy or just trying to take the big man down. How do you think he compares with, what about the title of the greatest of all time?
It's interesting you should bring that up because just last night I was having a discussion with a pretty knowledgeable fan, not a coach, but a fan. And he was making the point that he thinks that Belichick just has a great system and he could, like Garoppolo, who filled in three games, has a higher quarterback rating than Tom Brady.
Wow.
Those three games. And we don't know about the fourth game because he got injured and had to come out and the third stringer played.
But they sort of implemented a different system for those quarterbacks.
So here's the question. If you could have one, not both, if you could have only one, would you take Belichick or Brady? If you're the general manager and you're given the choice, who do you keep?
It's a tough call because I don't know what goes on in the chalkboard room or I don't know to what extent it's the players or... The thing about Belichick that's amazing is that when they lose their pro, when the players are going out for money and they're like, hey, it's a privilege to, they pay less, more, much like, who's another example of, well, they lose marquee players and they continue to be successful.
Right.
So that I think is a testament to the coaching staff,
the system and the coaching staff that they have in place.
And I think they're going to lose their defensive coordinator this year.
Yeah. So that's
going to be a head coach.
That's the opposite. That's the downside of being successful that everybody wants your people.
And then, I think I would take Brady.
Really?
Yeah.
My answer was Belichick.
Because he did well with Garoppolo. I mean, they were 3-1
without Brady. I think he's going to do, I don't think he's a genius like everyone says he is. But, and Brady got his shot because why? Drew Bledsoe went down. So it's not like Brady just all of a sudden showed up and they were great. I mean, they were pretty good with Bledsoe. He goes down and it's like, oh, no, what are they going to do? Oh, Tom Brady.
And it's another rags to riches story with Brady because he was on the University of Michigan. He wasn't even a...
He battled Drew Henson.
Yeah, and then he was benched in his senior year or something.
Yeah, that
he
was
went in the sixth round of the draft.
And he was a scrawny kid.
And then he was a backup for the Patriots. Right. Bledsoe went down. Bledsoe had a quick fizzle out, huh?
Yeah.
He went to Dallas and that never...
No, Dallas and Buffalo. Remember, he went to Buffalo.
That's right.
The rumor on Brady is that he told Bob Kraft, if you draft me, something to the effect of, if you draft me, you won't be sorry. Wow. Okay. I guess you're right. Now, I don't take anything away from Tom Brady.
And Brady got to the University of Michigan because his father put together a video package, which is now more popular these days.
Of him? But,
yeah, of him in high school. Yeah. And I guess he's in California or something. But, you know, he sent them a tape like, my kid, you know,
Which is a great business venture for those of us out there who have video production skills.
Yeah.
You could sign up three or four players and say, hey, I'll follow you your senior year or your junior year, and I'll put together a slick little sizzle reel for you. As long as you want to part with some of that green leafy stuff.
That's pretty sweet.
That'd be a cool thing.
And you are a private contractor for video production.
Yes, I am a video whore. You can hire me out and I will do whatever you want.
Can you do like, I know that you do this, but you do, you can, a business that wants to advertise on television.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm not making fun of any TV production, but it's a very quick process for them to get you on the air.
Right.
But if you take time, like you're an agency, you know, like, you know, there's agency spots like from radio, which are highly produced, awesome sounding, great quality.
Exactly.
But if the radio station does it 9 times out of 10, that guy's got 8 spots to do that day.
Right. And he's been given your production late by the sales department.
That's gonna be done by 5 o'clock. You know, it's running at midnight tonight.
And it says 30, but it's really 48 seconds long.
Yeah. All that. Yep.
Wait, that's happened with you too?
Oh my God.
That's weird, isn't it?
There's too much copy here. I can't talk that fast. And if I do, it's going to sound like.
Well, you can't cut anything out.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? I can't get. What kind of music do you want with this? I don't know. Pick something. So, yeah. No, but I will give you.
Television production,
we'll give you a one on one. Because if you're dealing with a TV station, and I'm not ragging on TV stations, but you're going to be dealing with the person who sold you the spot, and then God knows who's going to be putting it together.
Right.
So if you hire someone like me, then you're talking to the guy who's working with you.
And plus, you're talking about the face of your business. I mean, it's not something to chintz on. That's going to be what people know you to be.
Matter of fact, after I get out of here, I'm going to go pick up a piece of equipment for a shoot I've got coming up on February the 11th. Oh, by the way, happy February.
February, yep.
Groundhog Day. And also the greatest month of the year. All the great, cool people were born in February.
Like who?
Jennifer Aniston.
Nice.
February the 11th. Uh-huh. Abraham Lincoln. Ronald Reagan.
Right, it's presidents.
Vic McCarty.
It's Black History Vic McCarty. What day are you?
February 11th. Me and Jennifer. I'm still waiting for us to go out for our birthday dinner.
February 11th.
Yeah.
So does that... do you get the best part of Valentine's Day because it's your birthday?
No.
It's like... Yeah. So you get a small little birthday, and then it's you. What are you going to do for me 3 days later?
Yeah. So well, I think no. Well, you're married.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, what are you going to do for me now? Always, right?
My wife's birthday is on July 17th, and mine's on August 17th.
Oh, okay.
So we sort of have birthday month in between there.
My fiance, December the 24th birthday.
Oh my God!
How much
God.
Does that blow?
Does
because you're just totally. Like, oh, we're going to lay out an hour for your birthday tonight because it's Christmas.
And you as a fiancé have to make sure that those are individually celebrated.
Of course.
Yes.
And I proposed on her birthday on Christmas Eve.
No kidding.
So that was nice. In a private ceremony. So, but we're thinking about going to Lambeau Field for our honeymoon.
No way.
And that was her idea.
You're such a
How
romantic.
About that was her idea. She's like,
honey, we're going to the frozen tundra.
Yeah. But we're going to go in September.
Oh,
when
that's
it's not
cool.
So frozen. Yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin's beautiful state, man.
It is. Door Peninsula is right there.
I mean, it sounds kind of, if people that haven't been there, one time I went to Alpine Valley, which is a concert venue there. Just outside of Milwaukee, but you go in those green hills. It's like they have on the milk carton. It's
right.
Like Red Barn, awesome rolling hills, cows, cheese places. I mean,
just stay away from Madison because we don't need no stinking badgers.
Yeah.
But I hear that's a big time party town.
I heard the same thing.
Big time.
Yep. Madison. It's also the capital city.
Yep. And somebody on SportsCenter once said they roll out of bed drunk in Madison.
I kind of like the Badgers. Just, you know, I like their uniforms. I like that they're kind of a small market.
Screw Wisconsin.
You know what I mean?
No.
You don't like that?
No, I watched them beat my Bruins in the Rose Bowl.
You know, there's nothing like Big Ten football. I mean, I kind of, growing up in Boston, it was all professional sports. There was Boston College.
Right.
We had
the
Flutie fluke. But it was not intensive for college football. But when I moved to Florida, we had the Miami Hurricanes, which I went to a bunch of games at the Orange Bowl. And that's
really?
When Jimmy Johnson was the coach.
Really?
And it was also, who was the coach after him? It was Butch Davis.
Butch.
And they were winning a bunch of national titles, even though half of the team was freshly released from jail.
From prison,
And they had the awesome rivalries with Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
And the Gators were in the SEC.
Have you seen the 30 for 30? It's when Miami played Notre Dame and they did Catholics versus convicts. And the guy who made that shirt, it's a great 30 for 30 because it talks about the whole shirt.
Was that done by my friend Billy Corbin?
It sounds familiar.
Billy Corbin. Yeah. He did Cocaine Cowboys. He's a documentary maker. Yeah, he did Dog Fight, D-O-W-G, about street fighting in Southwest Dade County. He
does. I would love to do work on stuff like that. That would be fun.
You know, the 30 for 30?
On whatever. The U. Yeah,
whatever. He did all that.
Yeah, Michael Irvin.
Yeah, so that was a controversial title, Catholics versus convicts.
Oh, yeah. And I loved how Miami was so offended.
Or is it just the rivalry at the time? Was it based around a big game?
Well, let's see. Because Notre Dame won the national title in 89, I can't remember.
Yeah,
but it was just a big rematch, and you know, but Miami being upset was classic.
So my introduction to college football basically happened in Florida, and then I moved essentially to Michigan, and then I've got awesome Big Ten
football.
Got
a different style kind of football, but still
pretty awesome.
But what are you talking about college sports in New England? You had like the New Hampshire ski team.
It was all about the Red Sox, the Celtics,
right,
the Bruins, the Pats. And the Pats were terrible at the time. I mean, with those old uniforms.
Oh,
and they played
the old Patriot
the old
on the
stadium,
helmet.
Which was right next to, that's where I sold hot dogs. There was aluminum benches with numbers on them. So you'd sit on the aluminum bench. You'd have to bring a
frozen
pad.
Aluminum bench.
And people had these big puffy jackets. So if you, you could knock somebody off the end by just sitting down. And there was nobody in the stadium. There was nobody to sell hot dogs to. They were playing the Colts. The Colts were terrible at the time.
God. Colts, Patriots, and the would that have been early 80s?
No, it was 84, 83,
So right before, but then they got really, really good, and then they got blown out by the Bears.
It was a flash in the pan. I mean, they just made the playoffs that time in 86. It was an 86 Super Bowl, I believe the 85 season. And it was, they just got in maybe the first year. It was wild card. I don't know how they won the division. They beat Miami.
Yeah.
You know what I referenced last week on the podcast, which was the snowplow game. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. They brought Miami. The snowplow out so the kicker could get a...
And it was a guy from the jail on work release that was sitting on a plow, and the coach, Myers at the time.
Yes.
And he says, go and, you know, and it's blizzard in New England. And Don Shula's there, and it's Dan Marino.
See, the Patriots have been cheating for decades.
The Marx brothers, Mark Duper, Mark Clayton for the...
Marx brothers. I've never heard that until right now.
You know, as scatterbrained as I
could
be.
That's funny.
Those are a great wide receiver duo for Dan
But I never
Marino.
Heard them called the Marx Brothers. That's great.
My favorite of all time, or the one I think is the best quarterback of all time, is Dan Marino. And, of course,
it's weird because he never won a Super Bowl.
Never won a Super Bowl, and he did all the he got all those. He did it with
tons
of without
records.
A real running game,
right?
And without real superstar receivers, he had O.J. McDuffie. I mean, these were
right.
You know, not big name marquee guys, and he did it all. And there were so many come from behind victories and fourth quarter yardage. He just found a way to win without those big.
Right.
players.
But we all know who the true greatest quarterback of all time is, right?
Who do you say? Favre?
Brett Favre, baby.
Yeah, I love Brett Favre.
Should have won 4 Super Bowls, by the way.
Tough and good.
Yeah, just, man. He just didn't matter if he, because that's another very good documentary on him. And boy, it brought tears to my eyes because he's talking about his dad. Remember, his dad dies.
I remember.
He comes out on that Monday Night Football game
Monday
and just
Night
goes
Football
crazy.
Game. Tremendous.
So I'm getting
God.
Goosebumps just
yeah,
talking about it. Yeah,
you just
yeah.
gave him to me. So there was a Monday Night Football game. His father died the day before, and it was unprecedented. He played Monday Night Football and he lit it up.
Yeah. And his dad would have told him, damn right you're playing.
And it was a competitive game. Did he come from behind or did he just destroy?
No, I think it was just seek and destroy.
400 yards.
Yeah, just couldn't be stopped.
Four touchdowns.
But his dad was the kind of coach who was like, you're hurt? Then drag yourself off the. His dad was tough.
Yeah.
He loved him, but he was tough. He wasn't, there was no carrying gear. Oh, that's another thing about parents. Parents, do not carry your child's gear. You carry your baseball bag. You carry your football gear. Oh, man, that's a battle at my house.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
You have kids.
Yeah, the fiancé has 3.
And one of them is an
11-year-old, and he played all-star baseball last year. He'll play again this year.
No kidding. What position?
Yeah. He's a third baseman, and he was pitching a little bit. He's a very good ball player. He's very coordinated. But, boy, you carry your own gear.
Oh, yeah.
You want something. You want water to be – you remember it.
Right.
But no. Mom's a little different.
What happened when water was not allowed at the practices? Like it was some, you're going to get cramp up, but
yeah.
Now it's why you
have
sip.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened? Well, like, how come we didn't know that water is good?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what textbook that was left out of.
That was
but
weird.
Generally, as human beings, we definitely need a little bit of water.
Yeah. And you know, we had this thing. My coach, this was Pop Warner football, but he used to grab our helmet and scream in our faces, and their spit was coming at you. And then the cup check was, he would randomly just take a stick and whack you in the groin.
Business.
It was a cup check. So you didn't want that cup check without wearing it, because it was easier to run without it, and it was uncomfortable.
Well,
it chafed.
Well, there was a lot of rubbing going on down there. I didn't like that.
And, you know, it was like always too big for, you know, it was like,
wait, are you going size now all of a sudden?
It was too big. I mean, look.
What was too big?
The cup.
Oh, the cup was too big.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think my dad bought me an adult size.
Right, yeah. You're like, and the jock strap. You were back in the day when you wore jock straps?
No, I just threw the cup down there.
Shut up.
You
did not.
I did.
No.
It's terrible.
Oh, God.
But anyway, cup check. There was no water.
Hey, Vic. Run laps,
Vic McCarty, so what's your final thoughts on Super Bowl 51?
All right, let me throw this scenario out to you right now.
Let's do all the predictions.
Are still -3, so they're favored by 3, okay?
Yep.
So Atlanta is leading by 1 late. Their drive stalls. They kick a field goal. They go up by 4. Tom Brady still has time on the clock. He drives, gets into the end zone, scores the touchdown, which is 6. That puts them up by 2. The line is 3. Time has expired, but they still have to kick the PAT. But the rule change is, if that PAT is blocked and returned, it's 2 points. So
that's it? You don't get a touchdown if it's returned?
No, but you get 2 points. So in this scenario, if they kick the point after from 25 yards out, right?
Right.
And it gets blocked and returned, tie ball game.
Oh, my God.
So there's no reason for them to kick it. They just kneel, game over. So the bet is 3. And so the Patriots win, but you lose the bet.
It's a push.
That's what I'm saying. I know. I got a lot.
Elaborate.
I have a lot of time on my hands.
But I can't believe that returned point is not a touchdown.
No, because it's a dead ball. The game clock isn't running, but they changed that rule.
Okay. It used to be a touchdown?
It used to be. No, you didn't get anything.
Oh, there was nothing.
You just
batted
it
down,
boom,
nothing.
But now you can.
Wow,
two
that's
points.
Interesting.
I like the bet.
I've been a fan of the game for so long, and then I still learn about things.
I have a former intern of mine that
I'm
knows
still
everything.
I'm not sure about the safety. Safety happens. You get 2 points as a defense.
Right.
And then the other team
has to punt it to you.
Punt it to you.
Yeah.
And they do it from...
I think they kick from the 40.
Yeah.
But don't quote me. But it's really, I think it's weird, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
And these are my final predictions. I think the Patriots are going to rout the Falcons.
Okay, so you think it's going to be a blowout, and I think it's going to be really close.
Yep.
And I would take the odds.
And I'm going with the under.
You're going under. Okay.
Because I don't think Atlanta's going to score that many points.
Wow.
And I think the Patriots will.
Okay. I think it's going to be both teams in the 30s.
Matt Ryan and his brother Jake Ryan, both on the team.
Yeah.
Two Ryans.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they brothers?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we had the Harbaughs. Remember, they were in the Super Bowl. They were brothers.
Yep. The San Francisco 49ers and the Ravens.
Very good. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be an entertaining game.
I was on the radio the next morning after the Super Bowl of that year, and Upshaw on the Ravens, I had a radio friend. He's like, I just called... what's his first name? Upshaw. Anyway, was on the Ravens, and we called him. We called his cell phone. He's like, I got his cell phone number. Call it. Try him. He's answering his phone. It was like 6:30 in the morning.
Really?
They're still up partying. Oh. And he answered his phone where he's like, so I got a Super Bowl winner on the radio the next day.
Really?
In this small market. That was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget that.
How many times will Trump be said during the Super Bowl? You can make that bet. Who will Donald Trump pick to win the Super Bowl?
Does that include commercials? I don't know if anybody's going to want to go there.
No, just the broadcast after the coin flip.
Nobody's going to say Trump. Do you think Trump's going to go to the Super Bowl?
Maybe we can bet on that.
Oh, do you know that their special guests for the coin toss is going to be the first George Bush?
Oh,
that just got out of ICU.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lives in Houston with Barbara Bush.
Oh, that's
and they're
going to
do the coin toss.
Really?
I don't know if they're going to wheel them both out there, but he's wheelchair now.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Fresh out of ICU, the place is going to go crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Love
that's pretty
HW.
Cool. But I hope he doesn't jeopardize his health. But that guy, he's jumping out of airplanes.
Yeah, he's a man's man. Former head of the CIA.
On his 90th birthday, he skydove.
Right. Yeah.
Amazing.
Can I give a couple of shout-outs?
Absolutely, Vic
Let's
McCarty.
See. Come by Super Bowl Sunday. I'm now working at Robbie's Taqueria as one of my many sources of income.
Come on.
I'm diversifying my income portfolio.
On Front Street?
Right there on East Front Street across the street from the Bayshore Hotel. Authentic Mexican food. You'll love it. They do a fantastic job. Robbie is from León, Mexico, and they're not faking it. It's real deal.
She's unbelievable. I did a promotion called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah.
Where every week I would go to a listener's house and bring dinner with me, and it was Robbie's Taqueria, TC Mexicana.
Wow, that's pretty good for a white boy from New England.
Robbie's Taqueria. Yeah.
But I love them. They're super nice people.
Totally.
The bar will be open. I'll be behind the bar. We have several big screen TVs, so come on out Sunday. Pre-game meal or stay and watch the game.
I like their premium margaritas. You know, they put the good stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
And no salt on the rocks.
I don't like me and tequila split.
Oh yeah,
horrible breakup.
You parted ways
a long time ago. So it's good for me because I smell it and I'm like doesn't want me to.
But you love beer.
I'm a big craft beer fan. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. We have Terra Firma out there. We also have a couple of Bells. So yeah, I love the place. They're very nice people.
Nice
people.
I they have another location here at that I go to, Zimmerman and Silver Lake.
So you would do that every week? You go buy dinner and take it to a listener's house?
Yeah, for like 6 weeks, eight weeks, something like that. I used to do something that was much more involved, which was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, where I brought barbecue. I would grill on your grill, and I would bring all the meats and hot dogs and hamburgers.
Up.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because it would be for 10 people. People could invite their family, neighbors,
whatever. Was this here?
Whatever. Yeah.
Did you shoot video of it, of the event?
I have still pictures of it.
Yeah, because that was back before Facebook kind of was really hopping and things.
I used to
Tonight I'm going live on Facebook this is how much things have changed. You can go live.
Yeah, yeah. I watch people do that all the time.
Yeah.
Periscope live video.
Yeah, so it's all about the live video. So I'll be live tonight about 4:00.
I wanted to get involved in doing some video stuff, like a Periscope and do video.
I think I really think if I had one criticism for radio today, is that everybody's got to have a video arm to their team.
Yeah.
And I tried like the dickens to get my former employers to do it. They just wouldn't have anything. Because I, funny about me is that I wanted to get paid for it. And they thought, well, there won't be any money involved. But on your deathbed, you'll have total consciousness.
Right, because that's your other business. If you want to enhance your product by like facilitating my business.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I like to eat. Well, so I want to get paid for whatever work I do.
Let's say you work for a radio station and they're having a Christmas party and they need a DJ. You happen to be a DJ. They should hire you for their party.
Yeah.
You know, you're using your private services. Right. You've invested in the equipment. You're spending your time above and beyond the job. But I tell you, you know,
you're making too much sense.
We're a lot on the same page. Yeah. Was that some of the breakup with the former station?
No, it just got to be too toxic of an environment. I was going home grumpy.
No kidding.
And so I am much happier now. Was there a lot of
interaction with the management?
Like when they showed up. Whoopsies.
I love it.
And on that note, see,
we're going to close it out. But the thing that I found in my situation where I was like, it's like a ghost town. Like, like I would like to work together to enhance this product and
make it better.
Increase the chances of having it sold.
Too much logic going, way too much logic there.
But anyway, Vic McCarty, you're a great guest, man. I'm glad we got to talk some
sports.
Fun. It's rare
Go Falcons.
That I go this deep into sports, but it's our Super Bowl spectacular. Go Patriots. Vic McCarty says go Atlanta, and the game is 3 points.
I think the bet, though. Take the Patriots and give the three.
I give the under on the national anthem, as you do. What's that guy's name?
Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan. I say Lady Gaga is going to have blue hair at 1 point.
Yep.
So we're going to put on there'll be...
Will she make some sort of Trump reference? You can make a bet on that, too. The NFL will be very upset if she does, but she's Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Do you know they don't get paid?
I heard they almost had to pay because it's a commercial for their latest release, and the record company pays for it, not the artist itself, but... I heard something like that.
Yeah, because it's all, you know. It's
a promo for their.
It's a huge promo.
She has a new album out called Joanne. I think that's her real name.
You're stretching my Lady Gaga knowledge now. I don't listen. Believe it or not, I don't listen to a lot of Lady Gaga.
I know you don't. You like the Eagles.
I love the Eagles. I love rock.
Jackson Brown.
Love Jackson Brown. Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Foghat. Whoa. Back in the way back machine. Three Dog Night.
You know what's funny? Another quick radio story is that the original drummer, they played at Cherry Fest a couple years ago. Foghat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And we booked him for the show, and the guy said, it was like 3 weeks out. We're like, we'd love to have Foghat in. His wife, who's his manager, says, he's actually fishing on Lake Michigan right now with his brother, who was in Mungo Jerry. They did that summertime song.
Yeah.
And that's his brother.
Really?
That's played the keyboard on that.
Really?
So they're fishing on Lake Michigan. She called us back. She's like, would you like to have him come in tomorrow? It's kind of like, you know, way
both of them?
Time. Yeah, both of them. So they both came and sat in. Greatest, most down-to-earth guys. You know,
they're both from
England, really old. But they were hilarious and so down-to-earth.
Really?
And then he says, when I come back for Cherry Fest, I'm going to cook. He does chicken patties where his hands are in the mixing bowl, and we get all the ingredients that he has. He's barbecuing. We've got Amy Smart and Carter Osterhaus in the studio, and it was just the most surreal thing.
Wait,
I've got the fog
hat. All four of them?
Yeah. And he's grilling in the parking lot, talking to salespeople. You know, people are gathered around watching him cook. He's just awesome guy.
Wow.
His name is Roger
Earl.
Huge get.
You want to hear my Amy Smart story?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'm shooting a video for Brew downtown.
Yeah.
And I'm there, and I've got all my gear, and I'm shooting around again. And this lady comes up and goes, you know, you really should get them over there in your spot. And it was Carter Osterhaus and Amy Smart. Well, I'm not going to go over there and start shooting them. But they left
without their permission.
Yeah,
I mean,
they left short, and I wasn't going to go out and bother them. I leave them alone. But they left shortly after I got there, and I think it was probably like, oh God, the news.
Here comes the.
So I was going to not look at them because I didn't want them to feel like I was there haunting them. Well, for whatever reason, she's walking by the table, and I all of a sudden just look right up at her, and I'm like, oh God. Now you just look like the biggest dork in the world.
What do you mean? What was wrong with that?
It was not cool. It's not cool.
Because you set up your camera?
No. Because I like looked up at her. And I was just trying to ignore them because I didn't want to seem like, you know,
yeah,
I wanted
to be just a beautiful movie star.
I know, but I just wanted to be as cool as, you know, they were. But
right.
You
know, they're super, super down.
Are they nice?
Oh, wait.
Please tell me they're nice.
Oh, no. You know what happened after the show with Foghat grilling in the parking lot on a charcoal hibachi?
Shut up.
I was like, sorry about, you know, we only have a rusty spatula. He's like, I love that. He goes, it enhances the taste, mate. You know? Anyway, yeah, and then they own the winery up here, Bonobo, and they invited the Foghat guys with us and them, and we all sat on the deck and we were drinking wine in the afternoon. It was a beautiful day.
Shut
and
up.
I'm hanging out with Foghat. I got a movie star. I got a TV star. You know, it was fun. It was cool.
I should have come and worked for you.
Yeah, they gave us a tour of the downstairs with all the barrels and stuff.
Pretty
and,
cool.
Explain the aging. I drink box.
Is Oosterhouse a big wine guy? Wine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have anything with a twist off, Carter?
My palate. I don't know. No. If you gave me a $100 bottle of wine or if I.
You wouldn't. Yeah.
I don't know.
You're wet and cold.
I don't have sophisticated taste. Hey, but yep. Vic McCarty, again, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining me, man.
My pleasure. Always.
And people could find you on Facebook and all the usual platforms.
Either Vic McCarty or the Vic McCarty Experience.
And this is going to be up today, so if people are listening to it today, it's Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
February 2nd. Got to get this up by noon, I think, today. Yeah. But at 4 o'clock, you're going to go live on Facebook. What are you going to be doing?
Let's see. Today, it's Ladies' Day. Ladies' Day, Ladies' Night at Robbie's on East Front Street. Women, you can get $1 off house margarita and beer or half off wine.
Nice.
And the food is phenomenal. It is authentic,
yeah, it's
made
authentic.
From scratch.
Yep.
No boxes, no cans. They make it. Their head chef is from Mexico City. You got to come check it out.
You know what's incredible is their tacos, and because they put them in soft taco shells,
yeah,
and it's like marinated steak,
yes,
and all that.
Oh, it's
all right.
Top notch.
Thank you, Vic McCarty.
Baby, sophisticated mama. Come on, you disco.